24 hours a day, 7 days a week. On demand, powerful talk radio. We global, and you can do nothing about it. BashaniRadio.com. Always talking about everything. Keep it locked. Keep it locked. Keep it locked. Keep it
locked. Keep it locked. Keep it locked. This is David Spradley, and you should check out Z, the SEO queen.
Do you have an online business or want an online business but lack the team or the expertise to get on Google Page 1? Did you know that 33% of all Google search traffic clicks the first result only? Do you want to get more traffic to your website, social media profile, or just want your video to get more hits or go viral? Well, you need to contact the SEO Queen Digital Marketing Agency, where you are more than just a number. You can't lose with the SEO Queen. More visibility, more credibility, more profitability. Visit theseoqueen.net for more information. That's theseoqueen.net. theseoqueen.net. That's theseoqueen.net. That's theseoqueen.net.
Hello, this is Lady Z, the violinist. I'm coming to you because I want to encourage you to get your copy of Elevate. It's available on Apple Music and iTunes, Amazon, and Google Play. So if you're listening to this on your computer or your cell phone, whether you have an Android or an iPhone, you can get your copy of this song, this show's theme song, by just going to Apple Music, Amazon, or Google Play and get it today. I appreciate your support. Thank you.
This is David Spradley, and you're listening to the Jazz and Tech Lounge with Lady Z.
Welcome to the Jazz and Tech Lounge with Lady Z, a podcast about the secrets of success in technology, music, and business on Bashani Radio, iHeartRadio, and iTunes. Bashani Radio, always talking about everything from New York City. You can listen to the Jazz and Tech Lounge with Lady Z on any mobile phone or tablet device. The Jazz and Tech Lounge with Lady Z, where we explore tech and enjoy the music and learn the secrets to music and technological success. Please follow us online at www.LadyZ, that's LadyZhe.com, and on all social networks at Lady Z. Please pull out your phones and follow me on Instagram at LadyZhe. Now, if you're on the Bashani Radio app, you can always minimize the Bashani Radio app and go to your Instagram app with no interruptions and hear us just fine. So please make sure, especially if you're on the Bashani Radio app listening to this episode, make sure you go and like me on Instagram. Now, my next guest is a Sue Talk alumni, a member of Connected Women and Influence, a founder and CEO of Duck Punk Productions, an award-winning filmmaker, and she's an expert at storytelling, and she is here to share with us today the power of video, the power of your story. How are you today, Melissa Tong?
I am great. Thank you so much for having me.
Great. I'm so glad you're here with us today because, you know, with this whole COVID-19 quarantine situation, you know, everybody's online and everybody has a story to tell and people are really exchanging stories. And, you know, when this is all over, as business owners, we're going to have to continue to move our business forward, telling our stories through social media. So what drew you to video? What caused you to take your gifts and start Duck Punk Productions?
Well, it's a long story, but we got time. You know. So I actually did not know that I would be going into storytelling and entertainment.
Okay.
I was a music composition major. Music composition.
Oh, wow.
So I studied piano when I was 8 years old, and I continued on. Went to college, did music, majored in music composition. And when I finished my MFA degree from CalArts, California Institute of the Arts, I was looking for jobs. And I realized that in order to be a composer, you also have to be a studio engineer, because there's no job, you know, there's no composing jobs per se. So, sorry? I don't know why I have...
Oh, go ahead. I was muted myself because I was fussing at my son. If you see my lips moving and you don't hear anything, it's because I'm fussing at my son.
Okay. So, so I didn't realize, you know, in order to be a composer, I also have to be a studio engineer. So I had a choice of going back to school again and get another engineering degree or, you know, do something else. So I was like, okay, I did school for a very long time, and I thought, okay, let me just see what's out there. So I started looking, and because of my bilingual skills, I got a job working as a TV news anchor, reporter, and producer. And besides anchoring the news, they said, okay, we're going to give you a 5-minute human interest segment every day. We don't quite care what you cover, just bring us something good. So,
Melissa, for those who are just hearing and meeting you for the first time, what languages are you fluent in?
I am fluent in Cantonese.
Oh, okay, Cantonese,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
So, so I said, okay, great. So I would, you know, I mean, I was on the job for 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
I did everything and anything from health, beauty, technology, science, red carpet events, movie premieres, Star Trek conventions, I mean, you name it. Interviewed thousands of people from all walks of life and covered over 1,200 stories.
Wow.
And so, yeah, I didn't even know.
1,200 stories?
Yeah, every single day, 5 minutes, 4 years, you do the math.
Wow, that's incredible.
Yeah, so the only people I know who have done that many stories are still doing news. You know what I mean? Nobody in my space have done that amount of stories. You know what I mean? That's just like
right.
And at the time, like I said, I didn't even know I was telling stories. I mean, this was like 20 something years ago, and back then storytelling wasn't even a hip word.
Right.
I just thought I was having fun,
yeah.
You know, because I genuinely like, you know, listening to people, like figuring out what makes them take, what makes them different, what makes them unique, and what makes them who they are as a person. I'm genuinely interested in that. So so I thought I was just doing that. And then after 4 years, I realized that, okay, news wasn't really my thing. So I jumped over to the fiction side, and then I worked on a primetime CBS drama called Martial Law with Arsenio Hall and Sammo Hung.
Wait a second, you worked with Arsenio Hall?
Yeah, I did.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, I know. So I started my company, Duck Punk, in 2000. And
so how did you come up with the name Duck Punk? That's so
That's a story behind
That's so avant-garde.
Yeah, how did you come up with that is very avant-garde. So I actually had... I had sales reps before, and every single one of my sales reps were telling me that okay, you know, you need to change your name. It's just too, it sounds like a music video company. You're not even doing music video. It's too funky, blah, 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 blah. And I stuck with it, and here's why. So back in 2000, when I was trying to find a name for my company, I was at the park, and they have a lake there. And I was feeding the ducks with breadcrumbs. There was this one duck who had a mohawk, just like my logo. And after 40 minutes, all the other ducks were like, okay, I'm full. I'm just hanging out. I can't eat anymore. This mohawk duck, he was still charged over to get to the food. So I kept looking at him and thinking, wow, you've been eating this whole time. How much more can you eat? How hungry can you be? Right, exactly. So after I, you know, went home, like, for some reason, couldn't shake that image off my head. So I started playing with the word mohawk, punk duck, punk rock. And then 6 weeks later, I decided to name my company Duck Punk. But that's half of the story. He actually became my inspiration. Because as a minority female working in entertainment and advertising, I mean, I cannot even tell you how many hurdles I have to jump over all the time.
Right.
I come across a hurdle and I fall, I have to remind myself to be like him and never give up. So that's my Duck Punk story.
Wow, that's powerful. I mean, especially now, I think now more than ever with all these, you know, unseen hands and unseen enemies, you know, people have a bad habit of just trying to blame, you know, something that they can see, feel, and touch. But, you know, oftentimes it is intangible. It isn't something that we can't see. And right. I think we as a people need to just love our neighbors that we see every day and
continue, I agree. Yeah, absolutely.
And continue to not give up and strive to, you know, push forward and go higher, you know, to much is given, much is required. And yeah. I think, you know, we all are so blessed to be here in this country and to be living on this planet. Everybody's blessed to be here and we shouldn't take any day for granted. So let's get into the power of the video. Like, what lessons did you learn? Like, when you were making all those human interest stories and you've done thousands of them, you said, what was it? It was 13,000?
1,200
that you've done. That is a lot of editing and hours. That is so much work. So what lessons did you learn about the power of video and the power of all these different stories?
I learned that everybody has a story to tell. Mm-hmm. Now, I hear that a lot from people, especially business owners. They said, okay, I know my story is just too ordinary. You know, it's nothing special. I don't know what story to tell. I don't know, I'm too scared. I'm not comfortable enough. I don't know, you know. So people have a lot of doubts. But what I find is I truly believe that everybody has a story to tell, and I truly believe that storytelling is a skill that everybody can learn.
I truly believe that.
So actually, it's been one of my visions is to actually make sure and help, you know, every single, you know, business owners to be able to tell their story. Because what, I mean, we are same, you know, very similar, but at the same time, you know, we have some qualities that make us different from each other.
Yeah, we're cut from the similar mold, but we all have those unique.
Right, exactly. We have unique traits, yes, right, and qualities.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, and because of those traits, we are different. And the reason why, I mean, I cannot stress this, you know, more than enough. Like, everyone has a reason why they start their business.
Right.
And I think people are not really understanding their why. So I've worked with a lot of people. I used to do a course called Finding, Speaking, and Marketing Your Big Why.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I came across a lot of business owners, and then they always have trouble, I mean, understanding what the why really is.
Right.
So a lot of them would tell me, okay, my why is I want to make more money so I can spend more time with my family.
Right.
I said, okay, that's not your why. That's the reason of your why.
Right.
I mean, sorry, that's the benefits of your why, not reason.
Right.
That's the benefits.
Spend time with your family.
That comes with your why, right? But that's not the reason of your why. They said, okay, well, what if I want to have some more quality time with my kids? I say, no, that's not your why either. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of people get tripped up about, okay, then what is my why, right? So mm-hmm. when I work with people, I sometimes have to go really way back with them, you know? Because, mm-hmm. I mean, I really believe that there are defining moments in our life that make us make certain decisions.
Right.
And then if you can go back to those moments, and sometimes people actually, you know, have forgotten, you know, some of those moments because they feel like it's insignificant. Or sometimes, you know, things happen and it's negative. So people don't want to go back, you know, to those mm-hmm. times. But actually, if you really like mark and write down all the major sort of, you know, milestones
right.
in your life, you can see there are certain things that happened that made you do what you do or made you, you know, make different choices in your life.
Right, right.
So if you go back to those, then it's easier to identify what your why is.
Right.
I'll give you an example. So I spoke about a month ago or so at a mastermind group. And uh-huh. usually I don't really do any life demo. But for some reason that day I had a few minutes left and I decided to do it. And so I said, okay, I need a volunteer. And before I even finished asking, you know, this guy's arm was already up. So uh-huh. I said, okay, all right, come on up.
Uh-huh.
So he came up and uh-huh. I said, he has a digital marketing agency.
Okay.
So I said, okay, all right. Tell me why you started your business. He said, you know, obviously he's been pitching for a while. So he got right. his pitch down, right? It, uh-huh. It's very polished, you know, very rehearsed, very nicely right. done. And I said, okay, good. Let's go back a little bit. Tell me about your college years, you know, did you have any special experiences, you know, from college or even mm-hmm. like right after college before you started your business?
Right.
You know, so he was talking and I didn't think there was, you know, of course it's significant, but I don't think there was something that would make him make that decision to start his business. And mm-hmm. I don't think that was what made him who he is today.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, okay, let's go back further. Let's go back to when you were even younger. What about high school? You know, or even grade school? Did
right.
anything
right.
happen,
mm-hmm.
you know, when you were growing up? So he took a long pause. And then all of a sudden, he let out a huge sigh. He's mm-hmm. like a huge exhale.
Mm-hmm.
So I knew something was coming. And then he said, you know what? There is something. When I was 14, I came home one day and then I found my mom in a pool of blood.
Wow.
Exactly. And uh-huh. everyone in the audience was just like, whoa, you know? So, I mean, I'm not going to get into that story. His mom ended up being okay. But I'm just saying, so that was his defining moment. But
wow.
he didn't even know that.
Mm-hmm.
Because nobody had asked him that. He totally
right.
forgot about that.
Because mm-hmm.
it was never talked about anymore, you know?
Right.
He thought it was just one incident. It was not significant and okay, moving on, right? Yeah. But it's powerful. Wow.
That is powerful.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as I'm listening to you talk about this, I remember when I was in elementary school and I had ran for student council and lost. And that could be one of the reasons why I'm into marketing so much now.
Maybe.
Because I want to master, you know, convincing people to vote for me.
Yeah, maybe.
I literally just won a position on my son's PTA board.
Oh.
Like right before the whole coronavirus lockdown.
Okay.
And I was elected to be the communications chair.
There you go. You yeah. finally won, see?
Right. And you know what? It was like, I felt so good. I felt like I won the lottery.
Yeah. See, we all have moments like that, and mm-hmm. And sometimes we don't think it means anything, but they do.
Mm-hmm.
They do. Yeah.
Well, Melissa, I think you are just adorable, and you have such a wealth of information to share. And I want to ask you, you know, taking the approach that you've taken, you know, really understanding every why for every project that you've come to, can you share with my listeners some of the wins that you've had with some of the stories you've told, some of the commercials you've put together, some of the pieces that you
absolutely know. So I have done a anti-smoking campaign for the California Department of Health, and
okay.
a lot of people have seen it. It's an African-American kid using an inhaler.
Okay.
So we shot that campaign in 6 different languages.
Okay.
And there were 4 spots, 4 30-second TV commercials that came with that whole campaign. So they blasted their campaign everywhere on major networks, you know, ABC, NBC, Fox, WB. And that campaign won a Clio and an Eddie Award. But what made me so proud of that was 2 things. Number one, we helped them raise their 1-800 hotline calls by 70%. So people
went in. A 70% increase in calls.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
And then also, I actually had people stop me and tell me, you know, once they found out that I was responsible for those commercials, they said, wow, I actually quit smoking because I saw your commercial.
Wow, that's powerful.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
I'm still very proud of that campaign.
I mean, you should be proud, because even now, like, I mean, there's, I think, a lot of stuff that we take for granted, and during this lockdown and just not having access to the world like normal, just makes you just want to get back to the basics, and it makes you want to, you know, not have anything extraneous, and smoking is one of those things. It's something you don't need to live. And the fact that somebody's quit, that's awesome.
Yeah.
That is so powerful.
Yeah, so that's one of them. Another one would be, we did a Nissan campaign a couple years ago, and this was the first time the client did not want to, well, actually not the first time, but this time the client wanted to have, you know, influencers. So it was our first time working with influencers. And usually when we shoot this, you know, commercials, we have a very strict storyboard. Everything has to be storyboarded. And then we have to shoot according to the storyboard, because so many people involved, you know, like we have to stick with the storyboard. But because they decided to, okay, we're gonna go get some influencers. And so this time we didn't have a storyboard. So they said, go talk to these influencers and find out what their routine is and work that into the story for the car. So we're giving a lot of freedom and liberty to develop that story. And I really like that process, because after interviewing these 8 influencers, we managed to develop a story for each one of them and work the car into the story and having the car be part of their routine. So it was very organic when you see the TV commercial, because you didn't feel like, you know, you didn't feel like, oh, they're trying to sell you the car, because the car is part of the daily lifestyle. So it's very organic, it's very natural. And so I'm very proud of that, because it's a different way of, because TV commercials, like I said, is usually more set, you know, and you weren't allowed to have a lot of freedom in creating the story. But this time we had a lot of freedom creating the story. So it was a lot of fun doing it that way.
That's powerful, because, you know, Faith Popcorn, I don't know if you've heard of her, but she's a marketing futurist. And she talks about how, you know, moving into the future, marketing has to be more organic and woven into the fabric of society.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay.
And that commercial definitely sounds just like that.
Yeah, it's just like that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So with this commercial, what was the outcome with the Nissan commercial? Like, what was the impact of that? Like, you told us about the anti-smoking campaign.
Well, for that one, they didn't actually have any, sometimes they give us the figures, sometimes they don't. So for this one in particular, they didn't give us any actual figures. Mm-hmm. But we know that, you know, the campaign was very, very successful, because they built a separate website to launch those campaigns.
Oh, okay.
They wouldn't have done that, you know, if they didn't think it was, you know, strong enough.
Okay, what model was the commercial for?
We actually did that for 3 cars, the Nissan Leaf, Altima, and Rogue.
Okay, that sounds cool. Well, I hope that I'm able to find some of the spots on YouTube, and I'm going to include them on the end
I can actually share some links with you.
Oh, you can send me the links?
Yeah.
Okay, great, because I want to share those with the listeners.
Sure.
And so, I mean, you have just such a phenomenal story. And, you know, when I heard your Sue talk last year, it was just so impactful. It was so amazing just you sharing, you know, your relationship with your mom and everything else. So I just have to tell you, like, during this time, as business owners are, you know, pivoting during this pandemic, what insight do you have to share with our listeners?
I have to say, we have to get ourselves grounded to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
We have to find peace within ourselves, because if we don't have the inner peace, it's very hard to maintain the peace outside of us, because we have no control over it. You know, right? The whole world, I feel like the whole world has turned upside down, right? Mm-hmm. But if you cannot cultivate inner peace, then you're just kind of going with the crazy, and you cannot really maintain your own sanity, I feel like. So now more than ever, I think we should, you know, if you can, you know, we should all be doing more meditation.
Mm-hmm.
We should, you know, have some quiet time. You know, I just listened to a podcast this morning, and you know, the guest was saying that, you know, if you don't have 5 minutes for yourself, then you're in trouble. I think it's
right.
Sort of true, you know, like, come on, you know, 5 minutes, start small, right? 5 minutes, you know, just carve off 5 minutes for yourself. I mean, I understand you have kids, everybody is at home and traveling and trying to get work done and all of that. But, you know, like, it doesn't matter whether it's in the morning, during the day, or at night, you know, just, like, really carve out that time, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Shut the door, or you can even, like, do it in your bathroom if you don't have enough space, you know. Just carve out a few minutes. Just quiet yourself, you know, take some deep breaths, you know, exhale, you know, your stress, and just take a few minutes to decompress and really take care of yourself and cultivate that inner calmness.
Right.
I think that's going to help us, you know, tackle whatever challenges that we have.
Absolutely. You know, one thing that I think is a great opportunity during this time is to really write and journal. One thing I've been doing is getting up early in the morning to pray, read my Bible, and then I've been brainstorming, just writing down different things, because, you know, let your pain and your discomfort be part of your story. That's inspiration for future content, videos.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I mean, I come across a lot of people who think that, oh, I cannot be vulnerable because that means I'm weak. And it's the actual opposite. Mm-hmm. I'm sure you know that, you know?
Absolutely.
It's like, right. It's not weakness. I mean, if you can be vulnerable, it takes somebody who's very powerful to be able to go there and be vulnerable. So actually, the more vulnerable you are, the more powerful you become. Actually, it's the opposite of what people think.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not because, oh, if I'm vulnerable, I'm showing weakness. That's the complete opposite. So I always tell people, don't be afraid to share your struggles. You know, because we all have them. It's part of life. And I think, you know, sometimes I like to blame social media just a little bit, because, you know, everybody on social media, they tend to only show the glamour side, right? Because everybody wants people to, you know, to know that, oh, they're doing good, they're looking good, you know, they're doing well and everything. Yeah, that's all good. But at the same time, I don't see a lot of people sharing you know, what their inner life looks like. You know, it's so much outer, and nobody's really sharing what's going on inside. I mean, especially now, I'm sure a lot of people are feeling helpless. A lot of people are not feeling very hopeful. You know what I mean? And some people might be feeling lost, but I don't see that. No, I don't see that. So, and this is
that's so powerful, Melissa, what you just said, because, you know, I think now is really the time for us to really, you know, humble ourselves and encourage one another and take all the masks and the spots off and really, you know, share what we're struggling with. You know, I'll start off the vulnerability thing. You know, as far as this quarantine thing, I've been quarantined many times in my life, 2003, 2006, 2014, and I call it my quarantine. I used to call it being on lockdown. I've been locked up, even though I don't have a record, and, you know, when I had some mental health challenges, and I was told I was crazy, and I was told to take these pills, and I was telling them to, it was all a result of just the shock of understanding what was coming, understanding, seeing all the way back in 2003, I was seeing what we're going through right now was a distinct possibility. And I expressed that to some folks and they basically said, shut up, you're sick, da, da, da. So, you know, I went through, you know, that whole process. People are going to learn more about it. I'm writing a book. It's called Black Brilliant and Maybe Bipolar. It's coming out in May where I'll, mm-hmm. you know, break it all down. But I definitely know what it feels to not be able to go and move the way I want. And I think the thing that I did during that time was to really reflect and to really write and to really, you know, see this as an opportunity to work on those projects that you've been putting off. That's what I see this as an opportunity as, an opportunity to really reconnect more with your family and friends and to really work on yourself. And with that, before we close, I want you to give us, you know, just give us a few things, a few tips that people can do, and also your contact information when it comes to developing powerful video content.
Sure. So my website, it's duckpunk.net. duckpunk.net. So mm-hmm. you can go on and all my contact information is on there. So if I were to give a few tips, I would say the number one requirement is be brave.
Mm.
Just be brave. I mean, I know a lot of people care whether or not people will like the story, whether or not people will look at them differently if they're telling certain stories or not telling other stories. So just take a deep breath and be brave. And knowing that when you share deep, people will relate.
Mm.
People really relate. And like you said, just take off that mask, you know?
Mm-hmm.
We don't need it.
Just
be yourself and be real.
Right.
So be brave. And then number two is don't worry about what people think so much, because this is your story and nothing can change that because it actually happened. And
right.
it is your story. It is part of your journey. It is part of your experience.
Right.
So it doesn't matter whether people like it or not. The people who are supposed to take something from it, get inspired by it,
mm-hmm.
and the people don't like it will not do anything.
Right.
So don't get too caught up about, you know, oh, I don't know, what the outcome is going to be like, you know. Just open yourself up. Just
right.
open yourself up and try to get to the place where you can be vulnerable
mm-hmm.
and share your story. And number three, I know a lot of people still feel like I don't have enough confidence. I don't look good enough on camera. I hear that a lot. Or I don't think my story is significant. Yes, your story is significant because the more you share, the more you will inspire other people to do the same thing. So you matter and your story matters.
Right. That's powerful. So, I mean, thank you so much for coming on the Jazz and Tech Lounge with Lady Z. And I just hope for your continued success.
Thank you.
Fellow Connected Women of Influence member and Sue Talk alumni. We're both fellow Sue Talk
yeah.
alumni. You had a great, great speech. If you get a chance, my listeners should go on to YouTube and check it out. And so thank you so much, Melissa. And until next time.
Till next time. Bye for now.
Bye. Bye for now.
I live a life with zero compromises.
You are my sunshine.
My life is 100% innovative.
I want zero pollution for our earth.
I want to live 100% charged up.
Live life with zero gas and 100% electric Leaf. Visit NissanNewGen.com for more amazing stories.
You inhale, they inhale. Secondhand smoke causes asthma that cannot be cured. Is your child at risk?
This is David Spradley, and you're listening to the Jazz and Tech Lounge with Lady Z.
A day, 7 days a week, on demand, powerful talk radio. We global, and you can't do nothing about it. BashaniRadio.com. Always talking about everything. Keep it locked.